Song of Solomon. If you have a Scofield Bible, you're looking at page 709. And if you don't have a Scofield Bible, it's right before the book of Isaiah. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a hard time finding them books. I forget where they're exactly at. And the Minor Prophets is some of them. And the Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. There'd been a time or two I had to go back to the table of contents in the front of the Bible and remember where it was at. You say, "Preacher, I wouldn't admit that." Well, you'll admit a lot more before you leave this world probably. Amen. Amen. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. Just going to read one verse of Scripture. Don't get excited. I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture. I began to ask the Lord yesterday morning with a lot on my heart, "Lord, what do you want for the service tomorrow?" And be honest with you, I'll be touching on Ephesians today, but my heart went to Ephesians, Brother Steve, where it said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as God also loved the church and gave himself for it." Or Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Then my mind went to, I think it's the book of John, where it says, "Greater love hath no man than this." I'll be touching on that this morning, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. And I don't know what you know about the book of the Song of Solomon, but it's really a book of love. And I can't tell you the last time that I've read it through or the last time that I've preached from it. I really can't tell you the last time. And so the Lord led me to read through the book of Song of Solomon, and he would warm my heart in places, and I just didn't understand why. I got over to chapter 8, the last chapter, and God lit a fire in a verse of Scripture. Look in chapter 8, verse 7. Please look at it with me. It says, "Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be condemned." If you'll be seated and pray with me, I want to preach this morning on the subject, a love that cannot be quenched. Father in heaven, I thank you for each one that's gathered here today. I thank you, our Father, for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the love, our Father, that you've put in our heart, for your word, for your people, for our Savior, for our real home. Our real home, Lord, is not down here. We're just pilgrims, strangers. God, the longer I live, the stranger this world seems to me. But Father, yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. God's youngins are going to gather home. Until then, our Father, I pray you give us grace. I pray, Lord, in the service today, you'd stir our hearts. We'll give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I like to approach the subject today in three simple areas. Number one, God's love for us cannot be quenched. Number two, our love for God cannot be quenched. And number three, our love for one another cannot be quenched. You say, "Well, preacher, I'll say more about this a little later in the message." You say, "Well, I know people that's had a falling out with God. I know people's had a falling out with each other. Their love was quenched." I want to remind you of a Bible verse. It said this, a friend loveth at all times. Beloved, I believe sometimes what's called love is really not love because it won't stand the test. Love, brothers and sisters, will stand the test. It'll stand the test in the home. It'll stand the test in the house of God. It'll stand the test in our hearts. I'm not saying that someone somewhere may not get sideways with God. But I'm telling you this, if there's something down inside that's real, that's genuine, eventually it'll come out. Say amen. I'm not saying the two individuals cannot appear to get sideways with each other. Even a husband and a wife get out of sorts with each other. But I'm telling you this, when there's something real down in that heart, I've even seen it with children and parents where there would be an act or two or a statement or two of disrespect. But when that love is real, somebody's going to be coming around and saying, Daddy, I'm sorry. Mommy, I'm sorry. And it could be a daddy saying to one of the youngins, Honey, I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. Forgive me. Say amen. Love. The Word of God said, many waters, the waters and the floods in this verse of Scripture, I believe, are typical of the trials that will come. And I want you to know something this morning. We have an enemy that would love to quench our love for one another. Would love to quench our love for our Savior. Would love to quench that love in a marriage and have one more down there in divorce court while the young'un's hearts are being ripped apart. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. God said, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. I want to give you a thought this morning. First of all, God's love for us. I don't know that I've ever thought about it this way, but I want you to think about the life of Jesus. I want you to think about the time when Herod ordered that all of the two-year-olds and down be murdered. Think about this. Now listen. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to quench love. You see, Jesus was headed for an old rugged cross. He said in one passage of Scripture, for this cause came I into the world. It was not a shock to him that he would live 33 and a half years and be nailed to an old rugged cross. And yet old Slewfoot was trying his best to quench love. You go into Jesus, with Jesus into the wilderness. He's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the book of Luke, chapter number 4. And he's being tempted of the devil. You say, Pastor, what's the devil trying to do out there in the wilderness? I'll tell you what he's trying to do. He's trying to quench love. I tell you, God's love, it cannot be quenched. Jesus set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. He said, I'm going, and I'm going to give my life. He said, Preacher, why did he do it? Because he loves you, and because he loves me. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, the agony that our Savior went through, I believe that the enemy was trying to quench love. When the Word of God said, and it's even, if you'll study it out, it's not something that's impossible. It's possible to be in such agony of spirit that the pores of your skin will open up and blood flow. I believe when the Word of God said his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. He was in such agony, I believe the enemy would have loved for him to die in the garden, that the Scripture would not be fulfilled. And that love, the sacrifice, would not be given the way that God had already determined before the foundation of the world. The Word of God said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Beloved, God's love for us cannot be quenched. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. You see, a lot of people don't understand. They think those soldiers took his life. Oh, no, beloved, when they came to arrest them, he spoke to them and they fell backwards. Yes, he could have called 12 legions of angels, but I'm going to tell you this, he didn't even need 12 legions of angels. You say, Pastor, what kind of power does he have? This world's going to find out one day when he rides out of heaven on that white horse, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, and his name is called the Word of God. They're going to find out what kind of power that he has. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, God's love for us cannot be quenched. I want you to think about something. I read this and I thought it was worth sharing. A certain medieval monk, picture this in your mind, please, announced that he would be preaching next Sunday evening on the love of God. As the shadows fell and the light ceased to come in through the cathedral windows, the congregation gathered. In the darkness of the altar, the monk lighted a candle and carried it to the crucifix. First of all, he illuminated the crown of thorns. Next, the two wounded hands. Then the marks of the spear wound in his side. In the hush that fell, he blew out the candle and left the chancel. There was nothing else to say. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say nothing says I love you like Calvary. Nothing says I love you like nails in the hands of the only one that lived a sinless, spotless life. Nails in his feet, thorns in his head, a spear in his side. Every joint out of place. Not a bone of him was broken. Isaiah said his visage was so marred, more than the form of any man. Nothing says I love you like Calvary. Husbands today, how that ought to speak to you and I. When the Apostle Paul said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I believe every husband in the building could say, you know what? I could improve a little bit right there. We've not arrived. Amen. Christ loves the church. I want to say this morning before I move on to the second thing in the message. He loves you this morning. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Don't have to know. He loves you this morning. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have to. He loves you this morning. Think about this. The Bible said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Here's the text I want to get to. Jesus is looking at him. He's not just looking at the outside of this young man. He's looking right into his heart. That's where he's looking this morning in this congregation. Man looks on the outside, but God's looking at the heart this morning. And listen to what Jesus said. The Word of God said, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He said, now, Pastor, this man didn't know the Lord, and this man had been a good fella. There's people that think, beloved, listen, they don't need Christ because they're a good fella, and there's also people that think Christ wouldn't have anything to do with them because they're such a bad fella, and both are wrong. He loves you. Young or old, rich or poor, educated or uneducated. I'm glad I can stand behind the Bible and say, God so loved the world. Doesn't matter what color we are. It's hard to believe it sometimes, beloved, when you watch the news. But God even loves politicians. Say amen. For you and I to love them, it takes God. Say amen. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Generally speaking, there's one thing in a person's life that's keeping them from Christ. Generally speaking, think about this. With me, you say, Pastor, why were you 27 years old before you got saved? I'm going to tell you in one word why. I was full of pride. You'll never get saved in your pride. I said you'll never get saved in your pride. With some, they love alcohol. With some, they love the sex culture. With some, they love drugs. With some, they love money and possessions, and they're not going to turn loose of anything. But generally speaking, it's one thing that keeps people from coming to Christ. And you know, as you sit there this morning, you know what that one thing is. And God knows what that one thing is. I don't know what that one thing is. But I'll tell you this. Whatever that one thing is, it's not worth it. When my pastor put his arm around me in 1987, the night I got saved, and said to me, Rick, I'm glad you come, son. There's nothing worth dying going to hell for. I say, amen. Nothing. What shall a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If we could interview those folks in hell, they'd say, we'd give it all. Have one more opportunity. God's love for us cannot be quenched. The songwriter said, he left the splendor of heaven, knowing the agony was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky. The sparrows can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. And there's no feeling like this if that isn't love. I wonder, this Lord's Day falling on Valentine's Day, how many people will remember the roses and forget the cross? How many people will remember the candy and forget the cross? I want you to know this morning, we're God's people. We're supposed to be a little bit different than the world that we live in. And when you hear the word love and I hear the word love, our heart and our mind ought to race to Calvary. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. He said, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Secondly, in the message today, I could preach a long time right there. I'm glad he loves me this morning. You say, preacher, in spite of your faults, he still loves me. There's a woman sitting right over there that loves me in spite of my faults, in spite of my failures. That's what God's love is. A while ago, Brother James, you thought we was clapping for you. Ha-ha, we was clapping for Miss Thelma. Amen. We know what Miss Thelma's had to put up with for 66 years. Amen. Brother James said amen. That's good. Amen. Y'all are precious to us, brother. Absolutely precious. God's love for us, many waters cannot quench love. Secondly, our love for God. It'll be tested at times. You're not going to get very far down the road for God, Miss Leah. I think of you because you're just getting started out in your Christian journey. Till you're going to get hurt. Something's going to hurt you. Bad. It may be something unintentional. It may be something intentional. It may just be some of life's floods that come along and sweep us off of our feet. But I'll tell you this. This is the secret. Everybody listen to me. Take your hurt to the foot of the cross. If you'll take that hurt, take that pain, to the foot of the old rugged cross, if you'll hear the Savior say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Beloved, you can get up from there and say, God, by your grace, I'm going on. I'm going on. Over and over in the Bible, the old devil, he tried to get God's people to turn against him. I'll give you some examples of that. We'll move on to the last thing, but you need to remember, beloved, that there's a reason that we love him. It's because he first loved us. We love him. You know, there's much emphasis, and there should be, on what God took out of my life and took away. He took away my sin when he saved me. But God had a bucket. That bucket was full of love. It's full of joy. It's full of peace. It's full of long-suffering. It's full of gentleness. It's full of meekness. It's full of faith. It's full of kindness. God didn't just empty my life of the mess that night. But God didn't just let me go home that night an empty vessel. He dumped his bucket in my soul. Filled my life with his presence. I believe that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. We talked recent days about Brother Wrightley. Brother Aaron, did you know him? You didn't know him. You missed a blessing, brother. A man that was just dripping with honey from heaven. Never heard him say an unkind or sideways thing about anybody. And you wouldn't be around him 30 seconds till you'd know he loved the Lord and the Lord loved him. That's the way we ought to live. In the Word of God, I thought about Joseph. Joseph was a young man. His brothers were jealous of him. Joseph ends up in a pit. Joseph ends up being sold into slavery. Joseph gets exalted there in Potiphar's house. That's not good enough for Potiphar's wife. Joseph gets falsely accused, gets put into prison. You say, Pastor, what was the devil, what was the enemy trying to do? I tell you, the same thing he's trying to do in your life and my life. Turn our hearts away from him. Every time you're tempted to look at something you shouldn't look at, say something you shouldn't say, listen to something you shouldn't say, or you shouldn't listen to, I'm telling you, beloved, do something you shouldn't do. Old Slewfoot is trying his best to turn our hearts away from him that loved us and gave himself for us. If I could interview Joseph, I could take him one of those microphones and say, Joseph, can I ask you a question? Did you ever have second thoughts about serving God? Joseph, I don't know the answer to that. But I suspect it'd be something like this. Yeah, once or twice, but it didn't last long. You say, Pastor, where'd you get that? How about John the Baptist? I'm telling you, he baptized the Son of God. He saw the Spirit of God descend from heaven. He heard the voice from heaven. And yet when he was in jail, he said to his disciples, go ask Jesus, art thou he or should we look for another? They said, go tell John. The dead are raised. The blind see. The deaf hear. The lame walk. And the gospel's preached to the poor. I don't believe they got through the whole list, Brother Steve, till John just grinned from ear to ear and said, there's nothing to worry about. That's him. That's him. That's my Lord. That's my Savior. You say, preacher, what was old Slewfoot trying to do in John's life? Turn his heart away from him. I believe with all of my heart this morning, our love for God, many waters cannot quench that love. There may be a season. Brother Ralph, you've told me about the trials. There may be a season when you wonder, God, where are you? There may be a season when you listen to what the devil whispers when he jumps up on your shoulder. But I tell you, the Spirit of God will be along after a while and confirm what you already knew in your heart. He loves you. And you love him. Amen. You say, Pastor, I don't know how you can say that about Joseph. Well, just read it in the book of Genesis. Doesn't matter where he is. You'll find this statement. And the Lord was with Joseph. It doesn't matter what he's going through. You'll find this statement. And the Lord was with Joseph. That ought to bless you and I this morning to know the Lord's with us. He said he would never leave us. He said he would never forsake us. We may go through some deep, dark valleys, but we'll not go through them alone. I love the poem that talks about the footprints in the sand. But Lord, I remember this time in my life, and I only see one set of footprints. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know exactly what it says, but the thought is that Christ was carrying us. Honey, I'm going to tell you what. I'm glad I know what it is for my Lord to carry me. When I couldn't put one foot in front of the other, I have a Savior. He's not going to let us fall. Amen. Our love for God. I'll not say a lot about it. But in Daniel chapter number 1, here comes old Slewfoot again, trying to get Daniel to partake of the king's meat. And Daniel purposed in his heart. You know why he purposed in his heart? He didn't want to disappoint the one that he loved. And he didn't want to disappoint the one that loved him. Peter, Paul, great men in the Word of God. The enemy tried to turn their hearts away. Thank God that God's love for us cannot be quenched. Thank God our love for Him, when it's real, it cannot be quenched. There may be a season of coldness. There may even be a season of rebellion. My daddy knew how to deal with rebellion in a child. Did yours? Well, I got a heavenly Father that knows how to deal with rebellion in a child too. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, sometimes it's not the switch. Brother Preston, there have been more times than not that God helped me by smothering me with His love. Made me ashamed of where I was, what I was thinking. Made me ashamed of where my heart had drifted to. It brought me back. Our love for God. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Then I'll give you this, and I'm done this morning. Our love for each other. I believe that love at times will be tested. Help me. I'm going to say something this morning. I didn't plan on saying it, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Because of a recent conversation I had with someone, I won't even name that name. But the church has been through many trials. You know, one thing I appreciate about the church, Mother's Day will be here 8 years. Brother Steve, I don't hear anybody in the church talking about people that left the church or talking down about people. That's a pretty good sign. That whether we're in the same building or not, we still love one another. And that there's something more important than me getting my feelings hurt. That's the cause of Christ. That's being a light here on the hill. Our love for each other. Many waters cannot quench love. I spoke a while ago in the home. I don't remember the preacher's name that I heard say it first. I've heard it several times since then. He made the statement in our home. He said, we don't believe in divorce. But he stopped and he said this, murder, maybe. That's awful, amen. There's no sense in acting like our homes don't go through trying situations at times. But Brother Steve, the waters and the floods, they cannot quench something that's real. What God had joined together. That love, one for another. That love that Ephesians talks about. Husbands, love your wives, even as God. Christ also loved the church. In the house of God, the Bible said, beloved, if God so loved us, someone sent me a text last week. Speaking of what was being done for Brother Brian's family, the school over there has has stepped up, and they're bringing food Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I need to speak to you about something after church, Brother Steve. Maybe getting something off and getting it in printed form. The students and the faculty that's worked with Brother Brian through the years, there's a website, and some of the things that they have written is just so wonderful. Brother Brian would always tell stories in Sunday school. And it just made the Sunday school lesson relevant and real. And I don't know why. I should have known. I knew he was a great teacher. But evidently that's the way he taught in the college as well. People will never forget it. They'll never forget his kindness. They'll never forget, one said, the way that he shared his faith, but not in an overbearing way. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. In another passage, the Bible said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. There's nothing in the world that Satan would not rather do than turn our heart away from God. And if he does that, then that makes it easy for him to turn our hearts away from each other. Say amen. I didn't plan on reading this. Let me see if I can find it quickly. I think I know what book it's in. Yes, Ephesians chapter 4. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. By the way, beloved, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. If it were not possible to grieve the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't have written this. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. If those things were not possible in the life of a believer, Paul would have not written this. But then he said this, be ye kind one to another. I'm going to go ahead and say something that's in my heart to say. There was a time in my ministry when I saw two believers kind of on the outs with each other. I thought I just needed to step right in there and see what I could do to help fix it. God's taught me something. If that love is real, it'll get fixed. Say amen. God don't need my help. Give it a little time. If that love is real, it will get fixed. Because the longer it's not fixed, the more it eats at you. Amen. By the way, you haven't lived as a Christian till you get it fixed with him. But Steve, you and I are on the outs with each other. We get fixed with each other. Son, you're living then. Amen. That's best that we just don't get on the outs. Amen. I'm not going to punch Brother Steve in the nose just so we can see if we can get it fixed. I sure hope he don't punch me in the nose. That's half of my face. My dad said to a fellow one time, he said, I didn't say you had a big nose. He said, I just said you had an extremely small face. Love one another. I'll leave you with this. You remember at one time in the ministry, now we're talking about ministry, John Mark and Paul, there was sharp contention. Do you remember that between them? Brother Grizzle, before Paul died, he said, send John. He's profitable for me and the ministry. Ain't that a blessing? You know what happened? They got it fixed. that God had fixed. I thank God for Barnabas. Barnabas didn't say, well, if Paul ain't going to have nothing to do with you, I ain't going to have nothing to do with you. You'd be surprised how much of that garbage goes on in the ministry. One preacher decides who everybody else is going to fellowship with. I had a deacon one time that he said, you're going to hurt yourself fellowshipping with that fella. Now, you know what I told him? That fella that I was fellowshipping with was a child of God, by the way. You know what I told him? I said, in my whole life, I've never allowed the man to tell me who I'm going to fellowship with and who I'm not. And I'm not going to start now. Say amen. If you know Christ and I know Christ, we can have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all of our sin. The Word of God said in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. I say to you this morning, many waters cannot quench love. A lot in this world today, listen to me carefully, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm telling it right. A lot of what goes on in the world today is not based on love, it's based on lust. Love will stand the test. A friend loveth at all times. I don't need to do this morning, but I want to. I want to look at the church this morning and say, I love you. I love you. You say, preacher, you think too much of yourself. No, I know why I love you. It's because he put his love in me. And I like this. I can't help it. I've never met a sinner, Brother Gary, that I couldn't say, I love you. Never met anybody. I'd say, well, I tell you what, I'd just love to see you die without God and go to hell. Because God's love ain't that way. Amen. How many's glad you have that in your heart this morning? Brother Aaron and his mama's going to sing this morning. Miss Linda, we're going to have a time of invitation. There could be some husbands and wives. Everything is just wonderful between you and your wife. You just like to come and say, God, thank you for loving us. Help us to love you more. Help us to love each other more. Could be some teenagers this morning. Or children, been a long time since you said, Dad, I love you. Thank you for being my dad. Mom, I love you. Thank you for being my mom. Could be this morning that there's somebody here that's never met Jesus. And you could hear him say, I love you. Doesn't matter where you are in life, what you've done in life. I can tell you on the authority of this book this morning, he loves you. And he gave his life for you. Let's stand this morning. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. Many waters cannot quench love. Thank you, Father. Neither can the floods destroy it. I pray, dear Father, this morning that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us as a church, our Father, to never take one another for granted. Help us, our God, if there's something in our heart that can be fixed, to get it fixed. Help us to realize, Lord, when the temptation comes, what the devil is really trying to do is turn our hearts away from God. In so doing, He can turn our hearts away from each other. Even turn our hearts away from our own family. Help us, Lord. The Apostle Paul said, we're not ignorant of His devices. Help us, Lord. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.